All right, it is 2:26 a.m. on May 28th, Friday, May 28th, 2021. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, my brother. What is going on with you?
Nothing much. It's my day off, and I like to get started early on my day off. So I'm just, I'm kind of just sitting here chilling in the glow of a good night's sleep. And about to get up, might take an early morning bike ride. I'm going to call my doctor. I'm going to call the IRS. That's what I've got on the docket today. What about you? What's on the schedule for you today?
So the schedule for today is pretty fucking early. So it's Friday. I have to get to the library and the next in the next couple, not now, in like probably 8 hours from now or 10 hours from now, but I have to haggle with the library about the returns, 'cause like I have to fucking they said if I even if I return the stuff, I have to pay the fines at the same time.
How much is the fine?
S the fines are, the fine is $130.
Whoa, what the fuck? Why is it so high? What? Did you like hold up? Did you like bring a gun into the library? Was that the fine?
No, it was a prostitute that I borrowed.
Okay, you just borrowed, you checked out a prostitute.
And they said I could return it without any charges, but like I lost her.
Oh, well, you can just buy a new prostitute and bring her back. Like, usually libraries will let you do that.
It's not the same one though. This was a high-end
Oh,
prostitute or something.
you gotta buy a new one. You gotta buy the same one.
Buy the same one. So like, yeah, I don't know
Yeah,
if they.
that only works. It's not like, okay, so if you check out War and Peace and then you lose War and Peace, it's not like you can bring back Perks of Being a Wallflower and everything's cool. Same is true with prostitutes. You gotta like buy the same one.
But the thing is, like, it's not like silicone dolls. They're human beings, so like, I can't just find the replica of this human being somewhere. Do you know where I can do that?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, you have a point there.
But like, even if I return her, I still have to pay the fines. It was supposed to be free or whatever. So, yeah.
Well, if you go over time, like you're gonna have to pay. That's just the nature of the beast. You know that. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Don't pretend you don't know that. Come on.
Yeah, I guess it is fees, late fees. Late fees are annoying.
For real though, like why are the late fees so high? That's
Oh, okay.
a ridiculous amount of
It's
money.
some video games. I rented out some video games about 1.5 years ago and I didn't return them because I didn't have a way to return them. The pandemic happened and then I didn't have a car or a license, so like I couldn't walk to the library. I mean, I could have, but I didn't. I couldn't get a ride there. I mean, it just flew past my mind, I guess. It just flew by. And
Okay,
then
so like how many games did you rent?
three games.
How many did you keep?
I have all three, but I can't find one of them.
Okay, so you gotta find that, like you gotta pay for that one. You gotta buy them a new one.
I will buy them the new one, but the thing that I don't understand, which is like even if I return all three of them, I still have to pay that fine, which is not making sense to me.
No,
Yeah,
no.
I know. I
That's
literally
there's
have
no way
a I
that's
have a letter. I have a letter. Here's the letter. It says the to date. I'm trying to find it here. Can you give me some background music while I try to find that statement, please?
true.
Okay, got it. I got it. I got it. If you have misplaced the material, or if you have returned the materials and have not yet paid your fines, please send your check or money order of $159.97 to the Monroe County Library. Like, what? What? I return and pay? Like, I'm buying it like two times or like three times. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
Nah.
I think
They
I don't know,
tripping.
man. You gotta go in and haggle with him, bro. You gotta go
Yeah,
in
I
and
gotta go in and
negotiate a
haggle.
little bit.
I gotta go in. Oh, can you give me your social security number right now, please? So, or like your, yeah, your address, social security
On the
number.
podcast?
Yeah, that, like, come on, like, yeah, you're not
Yeah,
afraid.
okay. It's 069 14 69 69.
Yeah, okay, thanks, dude. What about your address? Can I have your address too? And I already know how to spell your name, so.
Oh yeah, it's 124 Suckmandig Way.
That address
Huntsville,
sounds familiar.
Mansville, Alabama, 24769.
Sorry, can you spell the street address, like the street like
Yes,
address?
it's Sucmidic Way.
Thank you. So you don't have a library card in Rochester, New York at the moment, right? It's like you use this address and this valid social security card to get a new library card.
I do have a Monroe Avenue.
Okay.
I do have a public library card for Rochester somewhere. It's in storage somewhere. But
It's not the same address, right?
no, I've moved a bunch of times, so
Okay,
it's
okay.
not the same one.
Okay. Well, I think
Before I lived at 420 Nickma Assway,
Okay.
and then before that it was 1898. Matt, I should really start thinking of these names before coming up with these bits.
What bit? What are you saying? These are addresses that you
Right,
actually
yeah,
had.
they're places I've lived.
What are you saying?
Places I've lived.
You're confusing me right now. Okay, so but anyways, even if I don't like return it or pay it, I mean everything will work out in the serendipitous way, right? So is that the right context? Like
What's that word you just said?
serendipity, I'm trying to use it in like a past tense way. What How do you say serendipity in the past tense?
Give it a try.
Serendipitous?
That sounds right.
Okay, cool. So how do you think anything has worked out for you in the past? Serendipitous. Yeah, that word. Serendipitous. Can you say it so I could copy you?
Serendipitously.
Yes, that word. Thank you. Has that happened in your life?
What is serendipitous? What is that? What is serendipity?
Guess a way of things just working out.
Sure.
Give
Yeah,
me.
I rear ended a police officer one time, and like I wasn't killed by the police. I kind of just like went in, and like they gave me a traffic stop violation. It didn't totally end my life. My license wasn't revoked. And I just paid a fine, and I paid for damages. That's it. My license wasn't revoked because I had an out of state car and I was driving without insurance. So like as soon as it happened, I was like, "Fuck, my life is over." But then it turned out to like not be over. It just kind of worked out.
Hold on. You had no insurance?
Yeah, I was driving without insurance.
And you re-ended a car. Re-ended
Yeah,
a
I
car.
rear-ended a police officer.
A police officer. Are you
Yeah.
serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. This all happened in New Orleans. This was the last time I drove. My
How
car was fucked up. But
did that not fuck up your life? I don't understand.
I know. I know. They gave me a citation. They wrote up a couple different citations. One was for driving without insurance. One was for reckless driving, and one was for what's it called? Yeah, I guess it was just like a traffic complaint. So it got filed as a traffic complaint, and then I pled guilty to the ticket, and then I paid the fine, which was I think like $75 or something. And then I got a bill in the mail because I provided my address. So they sent me a bill for like I think it was about $1,200 because I fucked up his rear bumper. And like after I paid that, it was all good, and like nothing's on my record. So it's like none of the stuff that I did was criminal, and because I was driving with like Arizona plates, they couldn't take my car away, and they couldn't take my license away. So my license wasn't revoked, and they didn't even breathalyze me. They just talked to me, and like they saw that I wasn't drunk or anything. I was very stressed, of course, but and like obviously I showed remorse. Like it was terrible, I felt terrible, and I think they sensed that.
So you're telling me
So.
you encountered a police officer in a way where you were you were actually
I was in the wrong.
in the wrong,
Yeah, I was in the wrong
and a police
100%.
and a police officer, in a way, looked out for you without genuinely. They treated you like a human being, and they didn't like try to taser
No, they didn't taser me or anything. And in addition to that, I forgot to ask for my license back. So like I had to reach out to the cop, and the cop like took time out of his day to like drive out and meet me to give me my license back.
That's beautiful.
And they didn't even say like, yeah, you have to come down to the station to get your license back. They said, yeah, where are you? And we'll come and get you. We'll
Wow.
come give it back.
Wow, bro. I know we hear a lot about police be why can't I speak today? Police be police brutality, and but we don't really hear about the good cops out there, 'cause I experienced an amazing police officer that looked out for me in a way that I never thought anybody would. I mean, in a place of authority. Like, I was manic and I was fucking running around in Arondacoit, where my godparents lived, because I was there. I was in my godparents' house, and I left their house at like 3 a.m., 4 a.m. in the morning. I just wandered the roads because my manic mind was like, yeah, just chase down cars and whatever like spiritual thing I was going after. I got so far, like multiple times. I literally was like miles and miles away from the house that I was supposed to be at. And this officer named Dean, I don't know his last name, he picked me up. I mean, he stopped by while I was running around. He's like, hey, what's up? And he asked me questions, and he's like, I told him where I'm supposed to be. And he's like, oh, that house with the pillar. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, hop in. He gave me a ride back to my godparents' house, and I said thank you, and he left. And it's like, he didn't ask me for anything. It's like, he was a great person, and he was a police officer. So like, I just want to shed some light on amazing
Yeah,
cops, you know?
two things to address there. First of all, I mean, you and I both have light skin, okay? So like our interactions with police officers, I think probably like even in extreme cases where we're in the wrong, like it plays a role. There's like an there's some contributing factors there. You know, we can be like in the same situation and the likelihood of danger is greatly reduced because we're operating under like greater benefit of the doubt, right? And so
So
yeah, there's that. Like in the same way, like I'm not gonna say that's like all of it, but like of course there are police officers who become police officers for the right reasons. You know, they want to like serve the public, and that's good. That can't be understated. And I'm not gonna deny the existence of those police officers or of that subset of the population. But yeah, police brutality and like police reform and all that stuff is very important, and like it like we shouldn't like end the conversation just because like a few cops were nice to us. You know, a few cops were nice to me, and like I've never had problems with cops, but that's not really the conversation. That's not really what we're talking about. Like we can see a pattern of like police behavior of like treating people differently based on, you know, something external. Like I was in the wrong and you were in the wrong, but like we kind of like get treated fairly, which we should, but like even cases where like it's less clear who's in the wrong, it's like guilt is assumed, and it seems there seems to be like a direct correlation with darker skin color and guilt assumption. So
Yeah, not
yeah,
gonna.
that kind of needs to be addressed.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not gonna argue that point, because like, I do definitely. I mean, I have seen and experience not experienced that personally, but I've been around in America long enough to know that there's racism still that exists, and there are some fucking idiotic cops that literally go off their racist agenda for no reason, and they treat people just based on like you said, skin color, in a way. So I'm not saying that all cops are great. I don't like, and I'm glad that you agree that there are some great good cops. That's all I just wanted to talk about. So and I mean, we experienced that. I don't want the people, like, I guess nobody really thinks that. Nobody really thinks that there are just all cops are bad, all cops should be defunded and all this, and we should take power away from the all police officers. But in a way, we are, and it's a good thing. Like, even if there's good cops are gonna agree with this fucking change. Like, defund the police and assign some of their what's processes, I guess, to
I
people that
mean,
can.
yeah, I think like the defund the police slogan is terrible optically. Like the underlying normative and prescriptive claims that it's making, like the prescriptive arguments that it's making are correct, but like the slogan is terrible and people just look at, well, defund the police. You mean abolish the police? Like, no, of course not. Nobody wants to abolish the police. No one, like everybody recognizes the importance of law enforcement and the importance of laws. But like you have to recognize that police are asked to do so many things, and oftentimes like the responsibility of answering like mental health calls, for example, like we put too much pressure on police. And like, you know, we should kind of examine like maybe we're putting too much pressure on cops, and like maybe we should reallocate some of the resources that go to cops. And cops are historically underfunded, if you look, or sorry, overfunded. Cops are historically overfunded. And that's that, you can't really even argue that. And anybody who tries to argue that, I don't think, simply hasn't looked at the data. So like we can address two problems. So one is like police are stretched way too thin and we ask too much of them. And we also like provide them way too much money, and we overspend on that area of we overspend in that area of our infrastructure. So we need to like reallocate some of those resources to other areas, and specifically we like and match that reallocation with responsibility reallocation. You can't just give the police less money. You can't just defund the police. You also have to like take some of the responsibilities and reallocate them to other places. So that's the heart of defund the police. And anybody who doesn't really recognize that probably hasn't really engaged with the argument very honestly.
So yeah, that I'm glad you see it that way, because like yeah, a lot of people find fault with defund the police, 'cause like people think that the police are doing their best and they are in stressful situations and they're trying to do their best. And the way you phrased it is saying that yeah, we are putting too much pressure, and they some of these police officers can't handle the pressure, so they they fucking crumble and they make stupid fucking mistakes, and that's what they chalk it up to at the end of the day. But if you take some of that weight off, and just what do you think police officers are about, and what do you think they should be just doing, in a way, I guess.
Can I not answer that question? Can I like refuse to answer that
You
for
can.
now?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
I think that's like a broader topic that we need to get past. And I think I would like to like move off the subject, and but I think I should close out the conversation by just saying like, as long as we're not moving past a political climate where we're just shouting slogans at each other and just trying to like analyze sentences and slogans alone, like we're never gonna get anything done. You say people have problems with defund the police, but like I can understand having a problem with the slogan, but like actually listening to what that slogan means and what it's meant to represent, like what the actual arguments are, instead of just looking at the slogan and jumping to conclusions, that's stupid as fuck. So, you know, actually listen to the conversation, get into conversations with people with different viewpoints, and then, you know, these sort of slogans will be more fruitful. Sorry, I'm not like coming off more enthusiastic. There is a person sleeping in the other room. So I'm not enunciating as much.
Okay, no problem, no problem. I understand. So yeah, let's move on. We'll get into that another time for sure. So what do you think about the world getting back up and on its feet and things opening up again?
I'm really excited, man. I'm really excited. How about you?
Dude,
What are
like
you excited to do?
I wanna I like seeing people's faces now. It's weird. It's weird.
I like their mouths.
I like
I
their
want to see their
mouths.
mouth. I like their mouths and noses.
Yeah. It really it does something for me. It makes me that's so weird that I said it that way. I was trying to get you to like say something funny about it, but anyways, yeah. It's just like I never realized how much I appreciate looking at people's faces and them not having to wear a mask, even though I don't know these people, they're strangers. I didn't care. I didn't care about looking at the strangers' faces. But now it's like, oh my God, it's coming back. I can look somebody in their face, in their eyes, and also see their their smile. I can see their smile if they
Yeah.
smile at me or if they're mad at me. Like I can see
Yeah,
that.
people are way more expressive when they don't have a mask on, you know? Eyes are fairly expressive, and like you can tell someone's smiling even with their eyes.
I am not
And
there yet. I'm not there yet. I can't do that yet. Like
well, not everybody's like that. Some people's eyes are very expressive, and some people's eyes just really aren't. But I mean, I can there are certain people where I can really, really tell they're smiling because of like the way their eyes look. But a lot of people you can't. I think that's a minority case. It's a minority case. It's definitely not like representative of the whole. But yeah, just seeing people's smiling faces, and that's nice.
It is. It is.
Everybody like masks give everybody acne too. So like
Yeah, fuck that.
people have that.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That's like I just one thing I realized in a way is like the things that saying is so annoying. It's not annoying, but I guess cliche things make it be annoying. It's like you never appreciate things or you never notice things until they're gone. And in this
Yeah.
pandemic. In this pandemic, the one of the things I've seen, like I got used to wearing a mask, but like seeing every other person wear a mask in my, it's like, yo, is this the universe I live in? Is this the planet I live in? Like,
Yeah,
this
it
is,
seems dystopian.
yeah. What is dystopian? Tell me more about that.
It's like the opposite of utopian. So dystopian is like it's like a dark future. It's a dark, dystopia. Like the difference between euphoria and dysphoria.
I know Euphoria. Yeah, absolutely. I've done some things that, yeah.
Yeah, dis d like the DYS prefix, I think, notates discomfort and uncomfortable feelings and like negativity. So like the contrast between like the dichotomy between dysphoria and euphoria, and then like the same dichotomy exists between utopian dystopia.
Okay, so yeah, it does. It feels kind of like eerie, I guess, in a way.
Yeah.
I felt like I was in a twilight zone or something. Like, yeah. And I mean, that's what I felt like when it was happening. Now that it's not, yeah, I'm grateful. Like, what are you excited about? What are you excited about things opening up and all
I
that?
can't wait to go back to a movie theater. I want to go back to a movie theater.
Right
I want to
on, right
go,
on.
I want to go out on dates. I want to take girls out. I want to go to restaurants. I want to like invite people over to my house and like snuggle with them and like watch movies and stuff and cook for people and like all those things that are taboo and like of interacting with people. I feel like almost like repressed. For the last year, it's been like I'm in solitary confinement.
Social distancing,
It's
dude. It's social
yeah, you
distancing.
well, like it's a it's you have to do it, right? You have to do it, but like at the same time, it does affect you. It does affect you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, I want to go back to a movie theater. Like I definitely like movie theaters. That's number one. I want to go back to a movie theater as soon. Like I might even see like a terrible movie like Cruella or something. I want to go on dates and stuff. So movie theaters, restaurants, what else? Coffee shops for sure. I miss coffee shops a lot. I miss I those are the two main things I think.
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. So tell me, what movie you said, terrible movie you're gonna see if it when you get the chance?
Probably Cruella is like what are, let me look up Huntsville Showtimes.
Take your time.
Hold on. Yeah, Huntsville Showtimes. Can I get some background music while
Yeah,
I do that?
dude, definitely. Ta-da-da-da-da, ta-da-da-da-da, ta-da-da-da-da. Fucking thought you'd find it by
Oh, hold
now.
on. This is a weird song. This Can you keep doing the music? Hold on. Keep doing the music.
So many different fucking music tones. I don't know which one to
You
stick
gotta
to.
commit to one. You gotta
Okay,
commit to one.
let me see. The Heroes theme I just listened to.
Oh my God. Okay. So,
We got it. Okay.
all right.
Good.
So let's look at we got movie times, movie show times up. All of
Awesome.
these are terrible, right? All these are absolutely garbage. Here are the current show times in my city. A Quiet Place Part 2, Cruella, which is a Cruella de Vil, like 101 Dalmatians
Hell
type
yeah,
thing.
that's the one you should see. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, you want me to see that? Okay.
Yep.
Spiral, which is a new Saw film with Chris Rock as like the main character. Like Chris Rock and Samuel L. Jackson are investigating Saw murders.
No way. That's
Yeah.
entertaining as fuck, dude. Those are comedians
Yeah.
in a serious role. No way.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I might want to see that. Just to, like all none of these movies. I don't think any of these movies. If we weren't like right out of a pandemic, I wouldn't see any of these movies. Like these are all
Quiet
like
Place was
trash.
good. Come on. Quiet Place was good.
Wrong.
A Quiet Place was good. What are you saying? Okay, tell me. You are the best movie buff I know. What did you find false in The Quiet Place? Tell me. I mean, I don't know if false is the right word. What was wrong in The Quiet Place, the first one?
The first Quiet Place.
Yeah.
There were so many things. It's not fresh in my mind. Can you know what, buddy? For you, I'll rewatch The Quiet Place, and then we can do a segment on it
Okay, well,
next time.
I'll rewatch it
Is that
again. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
okay?
Okay,
Cool.
so,
And I'll
but.
fucking tear it apart. It'll be fresh. So
Okay.
we can go through The Quiet Place, and I'll tell you exactly why it's fucking terrible. But like the things that immediately stand out is. You have to be quiet because the monsters are super sensitive to sound, right? And then so, but they're not sensitive to natural sounds, and that's why it's okay for them to be near the waterfall, and they can be loud as they want near the waterfall. But at the same time, like sound as a weapon works, which apparently like we're expected to believe that the military hasn't tried that. Like nobody has tried to use sound as a weapon against these monsters that are super sensitive to sound. Seems pretty like dumb as fuck.
Yeah, only you would think of this shit. Okay, well done.
But like, why? I mean, that seems really intuitive to me. Why would, yeah, anyway. Let's see, there's something called Private Watch Party, which I think you just bring in a movie and like Cinemark Bridge Street, you can do a private watch party of any movie, apparently. That's kind of cool. There's this movie called Wrath of Man. I've never heard. With Jason Statham, Scott Eastwood, mysterious and wild-eyed, a new security guard for a cash truck surprises his coworkers when he unleashes precision skills during a heist. The crew is left wondering who he is and where he came from. Soon, the marksman's ultimate motives become clear as he takes dramatic and irrevocable steps to settle a score. So this is like sort of a heist slash heist action movie type thing. Wrath of Man, The Conjuring is a really terrible horror movie
Hold on,
franchise.
hold on, hold on, hold on. I know that I don't. I'm not a fan of horror movies, but I know horror fans are a fan of The Conjuring. What bone do you have to pick with The Conjuring? Come on.
Well, I've only seen one. I've only seen the one episode, or the not the episode, but I've only seen. I don't know. I just think it's. I don't know. I haven't watched all the
Let's
movies. Maybe I
go
should.
into
Maybe
that.
I should
Actually,
watch.
I want to go into that. I want to pick your brain about horror movies. You have stated on the podcast that horror movies are a bad genre and
Yeah.
they're just a silly fucking freak show. So tell me why you have a bone to pick with horror movies.
Okay, I can articulate this pretty well, actually.
Sure.
So, the concept of like any art, like what gives art value is it sets out to convey a certain emotion, and as long as it conveys that emotion, it succeeds, right? So,
Sure.
horror movies do that, like they intend to frighten you, scare you. But oftentimes, the way horror movies do it is really, really cheap, and there are a lot of recurring patterns within the horror movie genre that just are very, very cheap. Like I just don't think it takes a lot of skill to have 20 seconds of silence followed by a loud noise, and then you're startled and you're scared, and like that's the movie did what it was supposed to do, right? I don't think that takes any creative power. I don't think like you have to be a very creative person to do that. And so it's either that or it's like showcasing violence. But when the violence is showcased, I don't know, there doesn't really ever seem to be any point behind the violence. The motivation behind like the characters, even when concerning their self-preservation, a lot of times like it goes completely contradictory to logic and reason. These are just off the top of my head.
Okay. I have a quick
Maybe I should
question.
write. Yeah, go ahead.
I have a quick question. If you were a director of a horror movie, or yeah, a horror movie, how would you scare the shit out of your audience?
How would I scare my audience? Like, if I was to direct a horror movie, how would I do it?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a really good question. That's a really good question, actually. Like, how would I do horror? I haven't really even thought about it. I
Well,
haven't even really thought about it.
you know what
Maybe
it well,
I will. I'll think about it, though.
you know what
I'll
it's
think
not
about that.
you know what doesn't work, so tell me what works.
I think playing off people's innate fears and showing something that they're not used to. I think like extreme torture is like that's terrifying. Extreme torture and watching your children be tortured. Yeah, but like watching. You know what would be really, really interesting? Let's say a really interesting concept would be like, let's say there's some sort of supernatural force that possesses you and can leave you at will, right? So this supernatural force possesses you as the viewer, as the main character, and you as the main character are bear witness to all of these horrible, awful things that a person can do, you know, rape their children, kill their wife, force them to watch. And then after all those things have been done without your will, but your full perception of it being done with your body, and your mind is taking it in, then the demon leaves you, and then you are taken in by the criminal justice system and interrogated endlessly, and nobody believes you because like the thing that is driving you is a supernatural force that is completely outside of the realm of reality. So you are put through the social justice system. You're put through the social justice system. You're sorry. You're put through the criminal justice system, and you are interrogated endlessly. And oftentimes, like movies get interrogations wrong, and like the level of like absolute dread of being interrogated, being interrogated is like probably one of the scariest experiences. So like to capture the horror of that, the horror and helplessness of first your body being taken over and forced to do terrible acts, and then the moment you are put back in control of your body, you're thrust into a situation where you have absolutely no control. That's scary. Loss of control is scary. And so something that captures that. And then I guess being in prison is scary. I think horror movies that would take place in prison, like you wouldn't need to have any supernatural elements, you know, just like prison life itself depicted honestly and really would be like truly, truly, truly horrifying. Yeah. So like I guess like you're asking me like to come up with these things off the top of my head, but like that as a general outline, loss of control is like kind of the scariest thing. Yeah. But as far as like what is horror, like I guess I don't really understand like what horror is supposed to do. The Blair Witch Project was kind of scary. That was scary. I was scared by that. I don't know if I would still be scared by it, but as far as like what I would do if I had if I was tasked with making a horror movie, it's a good question. I don't know. I don't know. I
No,
would have to really think about it. I would have to
it's
really, really think about it. I thought about it just a little bit there, but yeah, maybe we'll come back to that. What would you do? What if you were to direct a movie, like what story would you tell and how would you tell it?
well, you do know, because you really like depicted what the fuck is like horrifying to people. I mean, like having your child to be tortured, that's like, yo, what the fuck? Like, that's like
Yeah,
the
and that kind of thing is never in movies, you know.
I mean, like, I think a lot of movies do have that, like, ingrained in them to not have child violence. So like,
Yeah, women and children are always spared.
well, women. Yeah, no, I could definitely say women
And
are not. I can say women are not.
it's fundamentally like kind of unrealistic, because if you're trying to depict like a psychopath who wants like to be violent towards everyone, it doesn't really make sense to like elevate some people over others. Like there's all this like I understand that it's like really, really taboo to depict a child being killed on screen or a woman being killed on screen, but I mean, it's just cowardly. Why are you like being creatively cowardly when you're trying to scare people? It comes off really disingenuous and lazy and cowardly to me. Like it like you can tell a lot about like the nerves and the grit of the director and the writer, like with how they cut away, and like at the last moment, like horror movies just cut away. They don't show like the most damaging deaths on the screen. It's just like it's lazy. Mortal Kombat is like a perfect example. All the deaths that are real take place off screen. It like that's a film where like that's a universe where like everybody can be like death isn't really real. And at the beginning of the movie, like the main character dies, but then he comes back to life. And like every character who dies on screen can come back to life. All the meaningful permanent deaths happen off screen. And it's like it's a rated R movie, but like what are you doing with that R rating? If even in a film about like gratuitous violence, it still doesn't go all the way. Like show me something where I'm actually going to be scared. Show me something that's like I've actually never seen before. So I don't know. I'm probably coming off like as a weird person who like wants to see a child die or whatever, but I don't know.
Nah, you don't. You just you want the artist to have the creative control, and like they don't take it. So it's like I absolutely agree with you. I mean, like, hey, if you're gonna fucking make a movie about sex, violence, and all of that, go all the way. And for me, most I don't watch horror movies not because I'm fucking afraid of like horrible, horrific shit, because I've dealt with horrific shit in my life in general. And then other than that, I've already dealt it within my mind by doing psychedelics and doing some drugs that, yeah, basically psychedelics, I guess that's the one that took me there. But like, I've been through hell and back in my mind, and in movies, you want to depict what it really is to go through hell. And if you're saying the horror movies aren't doing that, I can see what you mean by that, because like the movies, like, yeah, there's a rating system, rated G, PG, 13, whatever. And then if you're gonna give the rating system, you should be able to provide what that rating system is gonna give, what that rating system presents, I guess. It's like I can watch horror movies. I mean, the reason why I don't watch horror movies is because I'm not a fan. I guess I'm more of a feel good guy because of, like, I guess the type of person I am. I like feel good movies. I like movies that have optimism and feel good emotions. But like, if I were to watch a movie to scare me, and if I wanted to scare me, if it doesn't, then yeah, it's a waste of time. So, n yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like for a genre that its stated intent is to make you afraid, it's surprisingly unwilling to go all the way, it's surprisingly unwilling to like take it to extremes. And like this is specifically like an American thing as well, like because I think like European horror movies and especially like Italian and Russian horror movies don't really have the same problem. But like a more American horror movies are just like they're so garbage, dude. It's like it's so garbage. And like it seems like the only successful horror movies in America now are movies that specifically parody and are like a commentary on the genre as a whole. If you think of like Tucker and Dale versus Evil or Cabin in the Woods. Those are like some of the most, like, those are some high quality horror movies. And like, I guess, what's that other one? Oh fuck, what's it called? I can't remember, but like, I can't remember what it's called. But there have been like a few, like, it seems like a common theme now for like horror movies that are like somewhat self-aware, that like, we're a horror movie and we're going to do like a commentary and a parody on horror movies, but also have like the same trappings of a horror movie with blood and guts and like horror movie tropes. And those can be very, very successful, but like, it's becoming a thing now where it's like we're entering like the postmodern thing where it's like, it's self-referential media that understands that it's entertainment and it's referencing itself and it's turning back in on itself. And like, now it's no longer new and novel. It's just like, oh, this is the new brand of horror. But it hasn't been like fully adapted yet.
That's
We're
interesting.
still on the whole, we're still on the whole like demon possession and like serial killer thing. Like, that's those are the
Yeah.
serial killers, paranormal stuff, and yeah, like the paranormal and serial killers. Those are the only two things.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's interesting. The thing I wanted to address though, like you say American horror movies, okay? I do see that why horror movies are successful is because horror, just like anything else, is subjective. And you could scare the shit out of anybody. define you have to define your audience because like everything has a threshold. Threshold.
Yeah, I guess my problem is like in America, the threshold is so low.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true because, dude, like,
Well, like, why is American horror, why are American horror movies so tame to like European
well,
and Japanese horror movies?
I mean,
How
I'm
do you
not
move
sure.
from that?
I'm not sure because you are an individual that want more. You want more extreme shit. That's how I can depict it. You want more extreme
I
shit.
mean, I don't know if that's. I don't know. I kind of have to push back on that. I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, I want to feel something. And like, if I'm just shown the same thing over and over, I'm not going to feel
Yeah, well,
any pleasure.
that's you being desensitized to the horror that you've already seen multiple times. So,
I guess so. Yeah.
in a sense, like, yeah, horror is subjective, just like anything else. And when I was a child in Afghanistan, in Pakistan and Afghanistan, I saw the movie that I literally went and I saw the second part of this movie. Not too long ago, I went to drive-in. It was fuck. I can't think of the name. Evil Dead? Is it Evil Dead? Is that a movie, by the way?
That's a movie, yeah.
Okay,
Evil Dead
so
is a
I
movie.
think I saw Evil Dead 2 recently. And I saw Evil
Okay.
Dead in Afghanistan and Pakistan, and my family was watching it. My family was watching it, and I was like, oh my God. I was like a little fucking kid. I was like 4 or 5, maybe 6, 7, like between 4 and 7 years old. And oh my God, that shit is horrifying, bro. Like at that age to watch it, I guess age makes you more receptible or receptive to horror movies. So as you grow older, you're gonna be more desensitized to horror movies, I guess, in general. So,
I
since w
guess.
tell me a horror movie you saw as a child that you were traumatized by. Let me hear that part.
The Cell. That one was pretty horrifying.
I didn't see
The
that.
Cell.
What was that about?
The Cell is essentially. So this the FBI has a unit where it's actually like surprisingly, it's a lot like Inception. It's a lot like Inception, but it's way before Inception. I think it came out in 1998, and it has Jennifer Lopez in it and Vince Vaughn. And essentially, there is a serial killer who kidnaps women and turns them into, like, he kidnaps women, stores them in an underground chamber, floods the chamber, such that the women drown, and then he turns them into dolls, right? So he's a severely fucked up person, right? He's a serial killer. And so the FBI, like, there's a missing persons report, and the FBI knows where this serial killer is, so they abduct him. But there's something goes wrong in the abduction where they try to take him in, and he's put into a coma. It's accidentally like he's accidentally comatose, So they can't interrogate him and figure out where the woman is, right? Such that they can find her and rescue her. So they go to Jennifer Lawrence, not Jennifer Lawrence, Jennifer Lopez and Vince Vaughn's unit, where they essentially hook people up to this almost like MRI machine, and they go into a dream world where they enter their subconscious together. It's very much like Inception. So like they go into the subconscious of this person and to try to ascertain details about their lives and try to figure out where the woman is. So imagine Inception, but instead of going into a dream, you're going into this the psyche of a serial killer. And there's like and it was absolutely fucking terrifying. It's genuinely like disturbing and terrifying. And I actually think it was a pretty good movie. Even like today, I think it would probably still hold up.
Why was it disturbing?
The visual effects were extremely disturbing. Like there is, let's see, like just like going into his house and like seeing all the memorabilia, and like a lot of the imagery was extremely disturbing, and the concept was disturbing. Forcing someone to be captive and then like drowning them, that's like clearly very disturbing. And then like, but when they go into the psyche of the serial killer, that's when things get like ramped up to 11, right? Where you see like his early childhood and his relationship with his father, and like how his father treats women, and how that's ingrained into the young child. And then all these like sick, disgusting fantasies of the serial killer. There's one iconic scene where like Jennifer Lopez is trying to like talk to this boy, but the boy is like untrusting, and he's sort of like running through like this maze. And they go through this like Assyrian sort of like Assyrian staircase, where like I don't know if you know M.C. Escher, but like it's like an Assyrian staircase. And then they go into this room with a horse, and the horse is just chilling. It's a beautiful horse, and it's a nice, he's just chilling. But then these panes of glass come down, and they like, have you ever seen a bread cutter?
Yes, I have.
You know how there's like ridges in the bread cutter, and like you can slice every piece of bread at once?
Yeah.
Yeah. So essentially that's what happens to the horse. All these panes of glass come down and slice down the horse perfectly to where it's standing still and it doesn't move. It's just killed immediately. And then the panes of glass separate so you can see all of its organs. And
Wow.
it's fucked. Yeah, it's fucked.
Jesus. Jesus Christ.
It's
Okay.
like seeing that as like an 8-year-old kid that was like pretty fucked up. And
You saw it
but
as. That's not for you. Why are you watching rated R shit, dude? What the fuck is wrong with you?
Well, what the fuck, man? Why are you watching Evil Dead at like however old you were?
Hold on.
Because that
Hold on. Hold on. Wait.
Evil Dead
I am from
pioneered.
Afghanistan and you're from America. You guys have rating systems.
Yeah, I don't know. I think somebody in my family just brought me into a theater. But yeah,
Okay.
we just wanted to see a movie, and they
Okay.
just brought me into a theater.
Okay. So comparing to what was it, The Cell? Comparing to The Cell and the movies now, why is it different to you?
Just cheap. It's just cheap stuff, It's all the same. Like the way, like the only way that horror movies get me now is they startle me in a cheap way, and the jump scare. And I don't really feel anything when I see like actors, like, and the acting is also really bad, by the way. Like actors, like nameless actors who I haven't really been convinced to care about are just being killed. It just seems like it's all like so predictable and formulaic that it just doesn't get me, I'm not scared by it anymore. Like there are good horror movies that are genuinely scary, but like there are horror movies that are genuinely scary, right? And they're good because they're genuinely scary in a new way. And then there are horror movies that, they're in the horror genre, but they're not necessarily scary, but they have like a lot of cool symbolism. And that those like the It Follows, that was a horror movie that had like a lot of really cool symbolism in it, and like it had this like constant sense of dread because the monster in the movie, basically how It Follows works is if There's essentially an STD to where if you are the active carrier of the STD, there is a spirit that continuously follows you around, and then when it catches you, it will brutally murder you. And you can either constantly evade it, you can constantly like walk around and never be in the same place at once, or you can pass the STD off to another person.
That's fucking so horrific. Oh my God.
Yeah, that's fucked. But then like as soon as the person you pass it to dies, like it goes back down the line. It goes back down the line to like the next person in line, the person that passed.
That is
Like
beautiful.
you have to fuck somebody strong who's gonna fuck somebody else, right? That's your best chance of survival.
Wait. You have to fuck someone strong?
Yeah, you have to fuck somebody who has a high likelihood of fucking somebody else.
Oh, okay, so you have to, it's like the sexual hierarchy, you have to be basically passing it to someone that will basically keep passing it.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't fucking care about spoilers at this point. How does that fucking demon die?
It doesn't. It never does.
That doesn't make any sense.
They
No, no.
don't ever defeat the demon in the movie.
That's not a horror movie. I
I
mean,
figured.
that is essentially a horror movie tragedy. So you never kill this fucking demon ever?
Yeah, and at the end, it's like it's left ambiguous because like at the end, there's this shot of these two people who like they seem to have found a solution for passing it on to where they can live in relative peace without fear of the thing following them. And then at the very end, there's a shot of just them walking, and there seems to be in the background somebody following them.
Wow.
Yeah,
Wow.
and then it just cuts to black.
Okay. I see your perspective. Okay, can I take
Constant.
a quick short break real quick? I'll be right back.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah.
Hello, dude. So, if you're ever wondering how to broadcast your thoughts in audio or vocal cords to a broader audience, you should definitely try out Anchor. Anchor is the way to broadcast. Okay.
If there's one thing that never helps me down, it's Anchor. Anchor
Yeah,
lifts me up.
that
Anchor is,
is profound.
it elevates me. It's really, they should be called wings.
Wings. Yes, absolutely. Because it doesn't hold you down, it
It should
lifts
be
you
called
up. Yes, absolutely. Hey, Jake Robinson, I haven't heard from you for a while.
Yeah, what has it been? Like fucking the whole 10 minutes?
It's been a while. It's been a while. That's all I know. So, Jake Robinson, can I tell you a story?
Tell me a story.
Okay.
I love
Please,
stories.
please don't interrupt my story until it is
Okay.
over.
Okay.
It is a short story that I will tell you in just a second. But
Okay.
before I tell you this short story, can I get some background music? Because I have lost my way.
What kind of music do you want? You want like action movie music or like
No, you're doing fine. Can you just make it more like uplifting? Okay. Enough music, please. 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 All right. So, are you ready for this story?
Yes.
All right. So, a random dude named Sebastian asked me if I was into basketball while I was sitting on a bench outside of Wegmans. He started walking away after a brief convo, and I was like, well, what the fuck? You got me invested in this topic, and I am a god. I mean, podcaster. So sit your social tush down and tell me your life fucking story and how you developed a gnawing need to approach a stranger in search of Knicks fans. That is the story. That is the story.
That's the end.
That is the end.
I'm very confused by the story.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Who's Nick?
That was a he, there's no Nick.
You said Knicks fans.
He is a Knicks fan because he was interested in basketball. He approached me outside of Wegmans. I was sitting down drinking my kombucha like a normal fucking person, minding my own business, and he approached me. He's like, "Yo, you interested in basketball?" I was like, "Yeah, maybe." And he's like, "Okay, well, that's cool." I was like, "Yeah, it is cool, but I'm not as interested as you are." And he's like, "Oh, I thought you were. I was just like thinking you were a Knicks fan." I'm like, "No, I like Lakers, but I'm not that interested in basketball." And he awkwardly kept walking away, like in mid-sentence. Like, what's up with that, dude? Can you explain that? Like, you're gonna walk up to somebody and get them invested in a topic and then just walk away?
As soon as it was made clear that you were a dirty Lakers fan, he exited the conversation.
Maybe, but even during, like before, I was like, yeah, I might be interested in basketball. He starts walking away. Like, what?
Yeah, so
You go.
are you like butthurt that he conversationally blue balled you?
I don't know. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. He started asking me a question. I started answering, and he started walking away. What the fuck? Like, let me finish, bro. Like, you know? Like, that was annoying. It was like, what? Like, it's like, damn, man. I
We
was
should bring
getting into
Sebastian.
it.
Bring Sebastian on the podcast
That's
and
not
rant.
the friend that
Open
I
him
will
up.
bring up. This is a random dude. This is not one of my good friends, Sebastian. This is a random Sebastian. A random Sebastian.
A random dude.
Yeah, a random dude, Sebastian, that fucking asked me about basketball, and I start talking to him, and he starts walking away immediately. Like, what? I didn't start this conversation. Like, how are you gonna be 1 foot, 1 foot out when you put both foots in the fucking conversation first? As soon
You
as
know the
that,
guy who
yeah.
voiced Sebastian on The Little Mermaid died?
Who's
Imagine
the?
how he feels.
Is that the fucking? Is that the crocodile?
No, it's a crab, dude.
That's a crab. Damn, dude. Damn.
It's
Sinking under
under
the
the sea. Everything's better down when it's wetter under the sea. Yeah, I don't think my
Yo.
impression of him is very good, but
It's rock solid. There you go, dude. There
thanks.
you go. Can you sing the whole song, please?
Absolutely not.
Come on. Come on. Either sing the whole song or give us your full fucking social. Stop
I don't have
bullshitting.
any socials. There it says. Yeah, I have no socials. The end.
Where
So
can the
sorry.
audience reach you? Stop bullshitting. Sing the song or give your audience the socials.
I don't have any socials. I'm not a social guy. I'm just a lowly podcaster. Just a lowly podcaster, and I work overnights, and I have my own creative projects. Listen, I'll make a website soon. The website will be up soon. We're working on that. And this episode's getting pretty long, so I think maybe we should end it.
Sure.
Yeah, so like when it comes to like audience appreciation, I do appreciate my audience, and I love all my fans and all that stuff. And I do want to reach out to people. I want to open up those channels. I unfortunately do not have any sort of Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat or any of those bullshits. I don't have any of those. But I am we will get a website up. In case people want to like reach out to us and give us feedback, and if you ever want to collaborate, all that stuff will be up soon. How about you? You got any social medias to plug?
Yeah. I only have one social media plug. It's chats with friends, and in those social medias, I mean, in correlation to chats with friends, there's social medias created which are gonna be posted in the descriptions of every episode for Instagram, Facebook, and Snapchat. I just have to figure out how to get that Snapchat QR code in there, but we will have
Do
all
you
of
think I
those.
don't think it's very you think it's smart to put your Snapchat in there?
It's not my Snapchat. It's our Snapchat. It's the Chats with Friends
It's
Snapchat.
going to be sent right to our phones.
It's gonna be sent to our phones, yes. But it's
Right to our
not
phones,
our
yeah.
Snapchat. It's
But there's going
the
to be alerts on our phones.
Snapchat. Huh?
Anybody who tries to send us dick pics or
Yeah. I mean, we welcome all and every single human being on the planet. And if
Was it?
you.
Yeah. No matter what your genitalia looks like, whether it be cock, balls, tits, ass, puss, all that stuff, it's all welcome. Send it to our Snapchat.
It is
If
all
you feel
welcomed.
so inclined, if you feel like inclined and you're like, oh, maybe I don't want to do that, maybe they don't want it, we want it.
We don't necessarily want it, but we will
We want it.
appreciate your support any way you will give it. Thank you.
Mossy's being coy. He wants it.
I don't, but I appreciate your support.
Yeah,
We support.
any whatever form that support comes in, whether that be some sort of shrine to our names, and you build a shrine in our likeness, or you just have a big old hard dick that you can attribute to us, and you wanna share that with us, say, hey, you're responsible for this. That's fine too. So yeah, we'll get that Snapchat up soon.
I agree 100%. Thank you for listening. Enjoy the rest of your day. This was Jake and Mossy. Take care.
See you.